Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We're going to read verses 19 through 24 this morning. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. I'll read aloud as you read silently. That's Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's Word as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this passage that we've just read this morning. God, we pray that you would work on our hearts today to hear what the servant of God has to say to us through the Word of God this morning. Help us to be receptive. Work on our hearts. Help us that are Christians and be better Christians for hearing today. Now, Father, I pray for that one or two or how many ever that is in this room that does not know Jesus Christ is their Savior from their sin, that today they would get that settled. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we always begin by taking a moment just asking you now if you would sit still and listen very carefully in these next few moments and not get up and go out of the room unless there is a medical reason why you would need to do that. And of course, we would want you to take care of that. And also turn off all electronic devices. Did one just beep? Perfect timing. They're turning it off. Wonderful. Fantastic. I appreciate that. Otherwise, if it goes off during the service, you will find out what it means to be slain in the spirit. And so help us with that. Or put it on vibrate, all right? So it just vibrates your kidneys and does not irritate the rest of us with la cucaracha, okay? We appreciate that very much. One-eyed Christians. One-eyed Christians. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 22, please. The light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single. Now, if you read commentaries and things, they will tell you that should say clear or without obstruction. But the Bible says single. I always go with the Bible as opposed to commentaries. Commentaries is just what somebody thought they think the Bible says. Always have confidence in what the Bible says. It says, if thine eye be single... Look at me. It means to be a one-eyed Christian. Now, we're going to do a little experiment this morning to start off with. You understand that you have two eyes that work today to give you depth perception. They work together to help you to see things with proper depth to them. But close one eye, all right? Everybody close one eye. And then now close the other eye, open the other one. Some of you will close both in just a moment, but I mean... Now, open and close eyes alternately. Close, open, like this. Do you see how it changes things? Now, some of you are going to do that to the rest of the message and irritate me. Don't do that. It's just at the beginning, okay? That's it. Otherwise, you'll think you're winking at me, and then if it's a guy, you and I are going to have serious problems. The idea is to show you how two eyes work together to give you a singular vision. But with one eye, you see things just one way. I have a cousin named Clark who was injured when he was a boy and lost one eye. It was completely cut out of his head, actually. And they put a glass eye in there, of course. And Clark had one eye all his life, from his childhood, I should say. And he was always, Clark, you'd have to know Clark to understand him. He's just kind of an interesting character. And we'd go camping, and he'd be laying there by the campfire at night, like that. And he didn't train his eye to close over the glass eye. He didn't care. It made a difference to him one way or the other. So when he closed his eyes, he always had one eye open. And many a night I look across the campfire at Clark laying there with one eye like that, sound asleep. And you'd hear his wife every now and then, later we got married, hear his wife say, "Clark, close your eye. You're driving me crazy," in the middle of the night. But Clark had a problem with depth perception. And he was a hunter. We won't even go into all the stories that came out of that one, but a fisherman. He was a real outdoorsman type guy. If you have one eye, you see things one way. And in this passage of Scripture, that's what Jesus is trying to get across to us. But folks, look at me. I think some people today are so spiritually cross-eyed that when they cry, tears run down their back. They're absolutely confused about the way they should be seeing things. In the passage, I want you to keep your Bible open because we're going to look at the areas where we need to be one-eyed Christians from this Scripture. But understand this, dear people. If you take a biblical view of your life and life around you, you're going to see things with one eye, a singular vision. See, we're not the people. Biblical people are not people who are politically correct. We don't test the winds of time to find out, oh, is this what people believe now? We don't do that. We see things one way. Look at me. We see things one way. And it drives this world crazy. They can't stand that. They said, "Don't you understand that there's this opinion and there's that opinion?" Now, I respect a person's right to have an opinion. But opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. They all have holes in them. The truth is, you have a right to your opinion. But because we're cross-eyed, because we don't see things with a singular vision, because of that, even the confusion of this world has now infected and affected Christianity. Now we're not sure about things. Listen to me. Biblically, if you follow a biblical pattern and you let the Bible determine what you believe, and you see things the way the Bible says you're supposed to see them, do you understand, dear people, in this day and age in which you live, you will be an anomaly. You'll stand out like you cannot believe. People will not understand that. They'll say, "Look, you need to be more open-minded." To be open-minded means you've got a hole in your head. But we're not like that, not biblical Christians. We have a singular vision. We see things just a certain way, and it's the Bible way. Now, I'm not talking about being stubborn about the way you think things are supposed to be. I said a biblical view of things. And having a singular vision about things and seeing things in just the way the Bible says I am supposed to see them. If thine eye be single, the Bible says, thy whole body shall be full of light. And we're going to talk about light in just a few moments. A singular vision. Are you a one-eyed Christian? Do you see things just a certain way? Again, I'm not talking about a stubbornness where it has to be your way to be right. My way or the highway. No, it's the Bible way or the highway. It's the truth of God's Word. That's how it is. And we see things with a biblical view. And we're talking, this is an election year, so we'll be bringing up some things about issues, and we're not a political church by any means. But we want to remind Christians, you need to vote your biblical conscience. You don't need to go to the polls and vote your political preferences. You need to vote your biblical conscience. What the Bible says about issues and matters. Not what some fool or foolette says about issues or matters. Yes? All right, that means to be a singular vision. But that's not just about politics. That's about everything about your life, Christian. Can I ask you a question? Are you a one-eyed Christian? Maybe we should call it Cyclops Christianity. One-eyed Christianity. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And if not, you're full of darkness, the Bible says. And that darkness is great because we have allowed this double vision or this cross-eyed vision about things. Nowadays, Christians seem to be so... Too many Christians are confused, and they're confused as the world is confused today. And this isn't a message, but now listen carefully. For example, in the matter of salvation, Jesus said in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's what Jesus said. And I'll take his authority on that, all right? He said that, that's the way it is. He said he was the way to heaven, the Father. He said he was the way. He said he was the truth about the way to the heaven, to heaven and the Father. He said he was the life about life here on this earth and eternal life. He's the way, the truth, the life. That's it. Him, him, and him alone. And to be saved, you have to have a singular vision about what salvation is and just see Christ for salvation. Number two, it has to be Christ alone for salvation, not Jesus and something else. You combine something with salvation, you send yourself straight to hell. You have to see it just one way. So then this morning you may have come as a guest or a visitor, or maybe one of those kind of people who's just kind of been discouraged with Christianity or churchianity or religianity and all the stuff that people use today to reject Christ. I can tell you some good news this morning. Trust Christ and get saved. There's nothing wrong with him. You don't have to accept me, this church, or your church, or anybody else's church to go to heaven. You do have to accept Christ. He's the way. Now, that's one way of looking at it. And people want to fuss about, you know, what about the Jews, and what about those who are not Christian of faith, and what the Bible says, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him, period. So it doesn't make a difference what their religion is or isn't. They got to come to Christ to get saved, or they're not going to heaven. And you, my friend, if you're saved today, it's because you remember a specific time in your life where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation, trusting him alone to save you, and you asked him to do so. See, that's a one-eyed view of things. It's limited in the ecumenical spectrum, but it sure stands a lot better with God and the Word of God, and that's before whom we must stand one day anyway, is God. And he already told us the way it is. Now look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 6. Can I give you some one-eyed areas today? Areas where we need a singular vision. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We need to be one-eyed Christians concerning our treasure this morning. You know what treasure is, don't you? Your treasure's junk to somebody else. All you have to do is go to a garage sale. Now we got to change garage sale, yard sale. I've never bought a garage and I've never bought any piece of yard if I've anybody. It's junk. Why don't they call them junk sales? Because that's what it is. You've been to garage sales, yard sales, people put up the stuff they want to get rid of. You know where they got it. They bought it at your garage sale, and then it's been in their garage, and now they want to sell it to somebody else. But if you look at most of it, frankly, most of it's just junk to us. Now, to them, it's a treasure. Had to be. They hung on to it for all those years. Well, you've been to a garage sale and see them sell 8-track tapes? Who's going to buy 8-track tapes? Some of you are hoping I'd give you the address right now so you could buy some of those 8-track tapes. But who... To some people, it's treasure. Treasure is something you value, that you consider important. My favorite is when the little kids go out the door on Sunday morning, they're got a sucker in one of their classes. One Sunday morning, one of the little kids went out the door and had a red sucker. And I said, hey, pal, look here. I took out a $10 bill, and I say, I'll give you 10 bucks for that sucker. And he looked at me and put it in his mouth and went, mm-mm. His mom was going, take it, take it, take it, take it. There was like a little bead of red on the top of that stick. It was almost gone. But I knew better, because to a kid, that's treasure. So you understand? It's not necessarily something that's valued by a market or a value of some kind. It's something you consider important. Now then, we need to have a singular view, a one-eyed vision of what we consider treasure and where we have put it, and how it affects our life. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Well, that's not really that valuable to me, Pastor Johnson. If someone can get to it or something can get to it and take it away from you, you've got your treasure in the wrong place. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break through and steal, and moth and rust doth not corrupt. Do you have a singular view? Do you see your treasure really as you should? I mean, listen to me carefully. There's some of the people that will go home today, and the reason you don't get to church on Sunday night is because your treasure's in the wrong place. You need to see that. Close that one eye, open a biblical eye, and see that where your treasure is, you've got your treasure in the wrong place. What is treasure to you? You need to see that correctly. What you have value in your life, what you really, really, really consider important. That's why Americans will spend billions on entertainment and just a few bucks on the work of God. Because we treasure entertainment. Folks, look at me. If you'll stand out in front of Circuit City or Best Buy at 1 o'clock in the morning to wait to get the newest video game or electronic device that frankly in 6 months is going to be outdated and everyone's going to go, what's he got that dinosaur for? If that's what you would do, but you can't work it out in your life to get to church, read your Bible, pray, your treasure's the wrong treasure. Wrong treasure. Last Sunday night, I was so proud of our church on a Super Bowl night. A good crowd of people here, and a good crowd of men in church. I made the comment. I said, you know, I was thinking I was going to have to, I didn't think I was going to preach a sermon anyway because nobody was going to be here. Number two, I said I was going to preach just to the ladies because all the men were at home. I looked at all the men in church that night, and I said, you know, but the truth is the real men are in church tonight. Not sitting home watching a stupid football game. See, Pastor, that was last week. Yeah, but too late. You paid your price then. Now it's judgment day. But that shows where your treasure is. Look at me. That shows where your treasure is. It shows what your treasure is. Now listen carefully. Look at that next that verse there, Matthew chapter 6, a little short verse of 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Need to look at this right now. Look at me. See a biblical view of how your treasure is affecting your life. If it's captured your heart, friend, that's what your treasure is. That's what we value. We have the seed program to reach our county with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look here, folks. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure it out. That though the crime rate, thankfully for the work of our law enforcement people, the crime rate has come down in some areas in our city, in our county, other areas it has increased. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out that we better do something about the safety and preservation of our society, where we live. Because if we don't do something, they're coming after us. You understand that, right? The have-nots want what the haves have, and you have it, they're coming after you. Well, then we better do something about getting the gospel to these people. Yes, right. Bigger and more importantly than us banking up stuff that we want, we'll go out and drop $1,000 on something. Won't do something about the seed program. Your treasure's captured your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Say, well, now, that's not exactly how it works, Pastor Johnson. See it God's way. Look at me. See it God's way. One-eyed, I look at it the way God says. See it God's way. Not your way, God's way. A singleness of eye about our treasure. Number next, look at these verses now, please, if you would. Look at verse number 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine light be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. We need to have a singleness of eye concerning light. Light in the Bible speaks of truth and the truth of God's word. Are you a one-eyed Christian about what the Bible says? Look at me. One-eyed Christian about what the Bible says? Is this, look at me, is this the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? This one, the Bible. Or does the Bible have to share opinions with you and philosophers, educators, scientists, psychology, psychiatry? Look at me, does the Bible have to share space with the opinions of man, or does the Bible stand by itself? Is this the light? Do you see it as the light? If I have a question about something, here's how I will answer it. What does the Bible say? If I have a matter I don't understand, I want to resolve that in my life, I want to find out what does the Bible say. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, the Bible says. Everything you know is in this thing. Do you see the Bible as the final authority? Look at me. Very simply put, here's how it works. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible says it's good, it's good. If the Bible says it's bad, it's bad. If the Bible says you can, then you can. If the Bible says you can't, then you can't, and that's it. Period. When I look at that thing, that's all I see. I don't have the depth perception of, well, this is 2008, Pastor Johnson, and you have to understand in this day and age in which we live. No, my friend, we got cross-eyed Christians whose lives are confused, messed up. We're shacking up. We're living in sin. We're committing horrible things with our lives, conducts. We're sitting in front of computer screens and delving into pornography and filthiness and fooling around in chat rooms and talking to people about things that are unnatural and unholy and ungodly. And we're doing things with our lives because we have taken a double vision view of what the Bible says it's wrong. One-eyed Christians. Do you know what happens when you're one-eyed? The Bible says your whole body is full of light. In other words, look at me. It means truth inundates and permeates your life. I'm sorry for the world today that lives in such confusion. But whether they can call me narrow-minded and simplistic if they want to, but I tell you what, I have answers for questions that they keep asking, but they don't want to listen to the answer. When a Christian comes to me and says, "Preacher, I need to talk to you about something in my life and get some counsel about things," and I'll say, "Okay, what is it?" We talk about it. I say, "Well, the Bible principle for that is," or "here's what the Bible says you ought to do." And they say, "Okay, I mean, I know that, but I'm wondering how else can I fix this?" And I always think, my favorite one is they come to me and they say, "Well, preacher, this is the shortest counseling session you'll ever have with me. Come to me and say, 'Preacher, I know what the Bible says I'm supposed to do and I know what you're going to say, but here's the situation. What do you think?'" And I'll go, "Yep. Anything else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now bless them now to do what the Bible says. Amen." Man, I don't have to read their aura or feel the bumps on their head or nothing, man. I don't even have to find out, you know, their childhood experiences and their backgrounds. It's all right there. They already know what the Bible says. I guess they're wondering if I found maybe a page of the Bible that fell out when they read it. I'm not sure. But the truth is, it's what the Bible says. If thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If we just take a singleness of view about the Word of God. Now, friend, listen. So simplify your life. Stop complicating it with the fact that you think there are excuses for why you can't do what the Bible says. If you're able, physically able, to do what God's Word tells you to do in an area and you don't do it, you're cross-eyed. Your vision's messed up. Years ago, before I started wearing glasses, I had no idea I had a vision problem. None. We're in the Open Bible Church building then. Somebody had left a pair of their glasses. Don't move now. Left a pair of their glasses on the table out in our little foyer there at the old church building. And I picked them up and took them home with me to bring them back, make sure I brought them back that Sunday night. And we're driving to church. The kids were all small then. We're driving to church and I said, hey, look here. What does Daddy look like with glasses on? And I put them on. And I looked up and I thought, look at all the leaves on the trees. Whoa. Has it been cloudy all this time? When I stood there in front of the church with those glasses on, I could look across the road and see the address on this building. That's that address. So that's what that business is over there. And I'd been deer hunting the week before that. I couldn't see any deer. We're doing a drive where one guy sits on point and everybody drives through the canyons, you know. And my favorite part is point man. That way you're not up down the canyons. And they got done to the drive. These guys stand there going, "See anything?" "Nope, didn't see anything." I probably had a deer convention out there. I had absolutely no idea. I couldn't see him. Didn't know it till I put on corrective lenses, and then it dawned on me. As I stood in front of the church that day, I looked around, I went, "Uh-oh." I did not know that my vision was messed up. And then you go to bifocals, and it's all downhill from there. See, if we're not careful and we don't just let the Bible determine how we see things. See, if you got biblical vision, you have 20/20 clear vision. With glasses on, I have 20/10 vision, which is better than 20/20. Without them, I walk into walls and trip over things. But, I mean, if I got them on, I'm good to go. You know, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to seeingness of eye, seeing things a biblical way. Stop allowing our lives to excuse ourselves for what we do and don't do. Guess what? He didn't write the Bible for you and I to make excuses to get around what the Bible tells us to do. If you are physically able to do what the Word of God says and you do not, my friend, then you've transferred from a singleness of eye and a body full of light to vision with a light that allows darkness to come in now. And the darkness is great, the Bible says. And we do. We stumble around like blind people in this society today because we don't see things of light with a singleness of eye. One more thing you had a single eye vision about tonight. Look at now, this morning. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means the riches and the things of this world. It's not just talking about money stuff. It's talking about the things this world provides. But wait a minute. You need to have a singleness of eye about who your master is. Now let's get this straight. Number one, you have one. Everyone has a master. See the statement in that verse? No man can serve two masters. That tells us this, that you do have one. You just can't serve two. But you have a master. Let me explain master to you this morning. He is the owner. You are the slave. That's the relationship. Master-slave relationship. We're not talking about bosses. We're not talking about equals. We're talking about someone who owns you, bought you, paid for you, has a right to your life. Nobody owns my life, Pastor Johnson. You're cross-eyed. You're cross-eyed, friend. You better take that book and let it clear up your vision to realize, yes, you do too have a master. You have a treasure, and it's somewhere, and your heart's there to prove what your treasure is. And you have a master. You have someone or something who tells you how to live your life. Everyone has a master. I got a master. You got a master. All God's children got a master. Everybody has a master. If we have a singleness of eye, we see who our master is. We see that we have one. We see that we cannot serve two. Well, on Sunday I do the church thing, and then on Monday I do my thing. No, 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 no. Then you got the master of selfishness on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because, see, you're setting the terms for your spiritual life. You're setting the terms, not God. You know why I go to church? Because I have to. Number one, true. Number two, I want to. See, I figure if this is his day, and this is his day, it's called the Lord's day. This is his day. I give him his day. He gives me the other 6 days to do better for him with. I give him this day. This is his day. So this is the Lord's day. So I give him this one because that's what the master wants of me. Do you see it this morning? Do you see the fact that everyone has a master? Everyone has only one master. And if you see it right, you're serving your master now. You serve him. No way, Pastor Johnson. No way. Nobody's telling me what to do, and nobody's telling me how to live my life. Then you serve the master of selfishness. And that's a master. That's not yours either, by the way. That's not your choice. I'm going to do it. I did it my way. I'm doing it my way. That's how it is. No, 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 no. You're serving the master of selfishness. He's controlling your life. He's controlling how you live your life. It's not yours. My old hippies from the 60s, friends. We all thought we were those kind of people who just, we were doing something brand new no one ever did before. Some of you still think you're doing that too. That's hilarious. But it just kills me. All we were was in the crowd of the people who thought they were doing their own thing. But we were in the do your own thing crowd. There was still a crowd. You can't get away from anybody. Now, these days, there are a couple folks out there I think are kind of unique. They walk by and you go, now, there's not another one like that one right there. But the truth is, I've been to some third world countries and seen those very same people walking around in the jungles and walking around in the bush in places like that. Same crowd, same people, even the same attire. Unbelievable. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, you have a master. I have one too. But see, my master is the one who redeemed me from the slave market of sin 55 years ago. No, I'm only 54, so that was not that soon. My math is not good. What's 9 from 54, Brother Evans? Oh, okay. 49. Thank you. You're just as good as I am. 45 years ago. There's people out there. There's people out there, right? And you got one of those watches and you're going beep, 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 beep. 45 years ago, he redeemed me from the slave market. I was bought and sold as a 9-year-old boy. Chained. Grew up in a drunkard's home. Had no chance at life, really. And Jesus, the good master, paid for my sins. And a faithful messenger told me about him. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And 45 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he bought me. The Bible calls it redemption. And he bought me. And now I have a good master. I don't always understand what he does, and I don't always understand why he does what he does, but he's a good master. And now, it's not just a Sunday thing to me. It's a Monday thing and a Tuesday thing and a Wednesday thing. And I remind myself, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I have a master. I prefer to live my life for myself. That's what I prefer. But you don't get to do that either. Then there's the selfish master. There's the worldly master. There's the carnal master. And look at me. And all of those masters just take and never give. And when they're done with you, they throw you aside like a piece of garbage, and life goes on. Every man has a master. See it the way God says. If your eye is single, one-eyed Christians, we may be limited in our view of the way the world, people say we look at things. But I tell you one thing, we're not messed up. We're not confused. Look at me. Our treasure is where it belongs. The light is on, and the master is good. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please, this morning.